All right, we're at the third decan of Pisces, and it's Cepheus, the crowned king. And everybody find Cepheus. We found him last time, so maybe see if we can get it again. Chaos. Did you get a...
I found mine today. Where's yours, Steve?
Mary, I think you're sitting in one. I really do. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry about that.
And, you know, it's right turn the map upside down so you can see Cetus like that. And then he's up here.
Yeah,
up here in the center.
Yeah. Cepheus. I don't know if it's pronounced Cepheus or Cepheus, but
he's a touching Draco.
Yeah. Now, it's you know, it's obvious who he is. I mean, it's he's got a crown and he's a cane and a scepter in his hand, except the scepter is probably, it used to be a branch, but they've lost the meaning of the branch, so we'll study that in a minute. He is, in the scriptures, he's our friend, he's our protector, he's our king, he's the one that, in this case, whose job it is to protect Andromeda and to protect the fish. And notice that the biggie on this is that his foot is on the pole star, the North Star. And that means that, I mean, there's nothing then in the universe, in our system, that isn't under his authority. You see it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was looking for Polaris.
It's under his foot.
Polar star, yeah, it's right there, right in the tail, Ursa Minor.
Now, it's hard to see it, but he's calmly seated, he's wearing his royal robe, and on his head he has a crown of stars. The name Cepheus itself was taken from the Hebrew, but it means the branch or the royal branch. But the people don't. Not many people know about that. The branch is another appellation for Messiah, but. So they probably, somebody in the past ages made the branch into a scepter, because that sounds like more like something a ruler would have. So. His name in the temple of Dendera in Egypt is Pekuhor, P-E-K-U-H-O-R. And it means this one cometh to rule. And all of the myths, and the myths are so complex, I don't want to involve Cassiopeia and Perseus, and they all end up, the king saves them, but it's too much for me to try to talk about what the myths are like. They're just too complex. Let's look at the branch being the reason for it.
He's holding the branch in his left hand, right?
Right. Okay. Let's go first to Isaiah chapter 4. I thought I was going to take a nap for a half hour so I could eat. Mm-hmm. Eating is heavily on my mind.
I'm sure it is.
You might have to call Scalini's.
I will.
I didn't doubt.
I'm not shy.
Isaiah 4.
Maybe it's Scalini's.
He Have you ever eaten there?
Yeah, just recently.
Yeah, they have great, good food, but they also deliver.
Great.
They have his credit card number on file. He just calls up and they recognize his voice, send it over. And
oh, that's cool.
You always order the same thing.
No. I think I'm the only one that would be allowed to do that. They have my credit card.
Yeah, I think you are, because I've been up there and they said, well, we don't do that. And then they check in the back. Well, yeah, we do in this one case.
I'm going to impersonate his voice and see what happens.
I wrote down the Isaiah wrong.
4:2 is branch.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay, that day, it's all over the scriptures. That day. What is that day? Well, in you and his people, it's the day that you have really understood. And under, the seventh angel has literally sounded in you, and you look and see, and for you the mystery of God is finished, and there's no more time. You don't have to worry about time anymore. And now that isn't something you arrive at by studying. It's just something you arrive at by repenting, so that you're never again subject to or a slave to time. And then it happens in history when his people have done it, sat down. There's nothing more for you to do. You're free from the horror of time. Time is a horror because it demands so much of you and keeps on demanding. If anybody knows about that, except for for men.
Crossword
post? No. No, me and Rachel, we don't have to worry about time.
Well, Gary and I, we were talking the other day about constantly their deadlines and, the stress that goes with it. And Gary said, all those deadlines are artificial anyway, and they really are.
They make them up.
Yeah, people don't really have to have it, whatever it is.
But that's what... It's if you have any other reason for doing something other than love, then for you time hasn't. And God wants you to stop being a slave of time, and you don't have to be.
No, okay.
Something I said?
Yeah, I just didn't want to cough on you.
Oh, thank you. They didn't want you to call on me either. Okay, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth, and shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. That's pretty interesting that they say for them that are escaped of Israel. Why? And that had to drive people crazy.
Yeah, that is weird.
When they were in, because these are sometimes assigned readings during feast days, and they finessed it some way, but that you're escaped of Israel when you see that he alone has kept the law and you stop trying to do the right thing. And we, in fact, you stopped trying at all. It's obvious that I stopped trying tonight because I just kept sleeping. Didn't even eat. Did I tell you that? I didn't eat.
Maybe you better call it and have it waiting when Bible study's over.
But
what does it mean, the fruit of the earth? I mean,
what verse is that?
2. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent. What does that mean?
Well, what is the fruit of the earth?
Well,
life itself, for me. It's you're not in the, what the first part says. 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." Well, what could cause that to happen?
What are all the other men? I mean, why are they? Why are there 7?
Question. Why are
Well, the reproach. Let's look at that a minute. Let's go. Keep your hand there, but we're going to look at Isaiah 54 a minute. Verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee. He's talking to the bride. As a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou hast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, my Redeemer. Now, when you stop, when you see that you're no longer married to the system, when you're not married to how-tos and what to do, you don't always see that you're married to somebody else. In fact, it's probably guaranteed you won't see it right at first. The system has failed you, or you can say it's failed me, but I failed the system, whatever, but the system doesn't work for you, or whatever, and so you are no longer married to it. Symbolic. I mean, that's what it's talking about. Does that make sense? And then for a time, you feel that shame of thy widowhood, thy. We, without us knowing it, we were born married to the law. Now, the law isn't just this. The law is all the how-tos you've learned from the beginning. And you're not married to the law anymore. You're married only to grace. That's why I keep saying, love God and have fun. Stop the concerning, being concerned about. And there was one, I remember this distinctly because it was so dramatic, for Joysanna. We were in Bible study and we were studying maybe the same thing, I don't remember, but she just broke out in joyful glee. And her everybody wanted to know what was the matter. I thought she'd gone crazy. But it was just this simple revelation in her that said, I don't have to be good anymore. And that's huge for her. I never had to worry about that very much. No, but each one of us, he wouldn't be sitting here, and he wouldn't have returned. If you might have sat here once, but he certainly wouldn't have returned if that wasn't applicable to you. Right? So does that answer your question? That was a long way to answer the question. But I had surgery today. Boy, I'm going to ride that horse.
Have you eaten yet?
And I haven't eaten since last night. Except for a little cracker.
That's so pitiful.
In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Well, that's just the first time it's called branch. We'll get... Okay, Jeremiah 33. It may be called branch other places, I just didn't look. Let's go to start in verse 10. Well, I must have written these down wrong, or I'm not thinking very clearly, which is probably the latter.
There's a branch, and there's 15.
I no wonder. Turn to Ezekiel instead of Jeremiah.
No, you're not even to Jeremiah.
I'm reading Ezekiel.
Did you tell anybody that you had some shots in your back?
Oh, well. I'm old, too. Well, let's just turn 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will I'll perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and in Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereof she shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Now, the word branch is tsemach, T-S-E-M-A-C-H. It means the sprout or the shoot of a new tree or a different tree. So a different stock than you have been. None of us have, we're still of the old stock under the curse. There's a branch that has sprung forth, a new sprout. That is our reality. All right? One more. No, two more. Both in Ezekiel. No, both in Zechariah, I mean. I sat here looking at Z-E-C-H, and somehow it came out Ezekiel.
Better find out what they put in that shot.
No, it was, I was under, you know, I was out. I mean, it wasn't, the shot was back here. This, I was put under.
And you're hungry, too.
Shut up, Pete. Why do you remind me?
Oh, Zechariah, without going, thank you. I don't know where Zechariah is. Zechariah,
chapter 3. Make sure I'm in Zechariah now. Hear now, Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows, in verse 8, I'm sorry. Thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men, wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. And I'll remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Well, anyway, we can read that later. It's all good, but now let's go to Zechariah 6. In verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and shall be priest upon his throne, and the counsel of his peace shall be between them both.
Every letter's in caps in this Bible, is that what you're on in branch? Well, not many words like
that. Well, because it's a fulfillment of the prophecy.
It's not in my
Bible. Is it?
No, it isn't in mine either.
Not just the first one.
You have a good Bible. That's pretty neat. I'm glad it is in caps. It's one of the 165 prophecies that were fulfilled in Christ. So. All right, that's enough about that. Go to the map again. The brightest star in his right shoulder is called Aldebaran. D-E-R-A-M-I-N. And it means returning quickly. Well, it doesn't seem like it's very quick. It's been 2,000 years. He shouldn't come back by now. Well, he did. But he didn't come back like they thought he would.
Not in our timing, anyway.
Left knee. Did you know K-N-E-E is pronounced left Lee? I just read it again, and it's knee, and I read it said Lee. It's
that
called...
That might be funny to somebody who was on anesthetics.
It's called, before I was so rudely interrupted, It's called Al-Rai, R-A-I. It means he who bruises. Like, everybody remember why he bruises? What he bruises? Okay, you got to stop. We got to go to Genesis 3, huh?
Yeah, his heel will be bruised.
Yeah, we all know.
Okay, he can bruise the head of the serpent.
He can bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise the heel.
And you know who the serpent is. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can't walk like him. He can. All right. All this is really self-explanatory. But the idea that the sign itself is self-explanatory. I mean, he's got his foot on the North Pole. In one of the more ancient signs, the ribbon that the two fight are tied together with, the ribbon went all the way down to, I mean, all the way up to, and that's what he's holding in his other hand, was instead of a piece of his robe, he was holding the branch. Kind of wish it would have been left that way, because I would feel better if I was. Anyway. But let's look at a few of these scriptures. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Well, let's go to, while we're in Isaiah or the prophets, let's go to Isaiah 9. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government of your life, is what it says, shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall there be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's nothing we have to do. And that's pretty neat. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Chapter 1.
This is there's two famous prayers in Ephesians. One is Ephesians, starting in chapter verse 15 here, and the other is in Ephesians chapter 3, starting verse 14. But these are, listen to the context and what these prayers say. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So first it's wisdom and revelation, but it's only in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, not your calling, the riches of his inheritance, the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place, in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this world but also in the world to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Pretty good prayer.
Yeah.
That's what we want, isn't it? Have that prayer answered in us?
It is. Yeah. It's already been answered.
Yeah.
But we want it to be I used to want it. It doesn't matter anymore, but I used to want it to be that I would keep, that this would always be in my mind, you know, that I would never start thinking about some other problem that had to be solved. But that has to be seen, that has to be brought to the end to see that all you're thinking about it is like worthless. You're just being really stupid, so you just give it to God and relax and love God and have fun. All right. Even when you just had surgery and haven't eaten since last night.
You didn't tell us you had eaten.
All right. Colossians 2. Did I ever tell you about General Electric Power Company?
Yeah,
no,
I did. Yeah. I may have to leave early for Winnie needs some help with her homework.
I'm sure she needs some help, Pete. I'm not sure it's with her homework.
Well, whatever.
Doesn't matter, does it?
All right. Colossians.
Colossians. We're in Colossians.
Well, let's start it. Again in verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. It never ceases to amaze me that this is right here, what we're about to read, and we don't know it, and we forget it, and we think something is wrong or something's going on. But it's always what we're going to read. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with all knowledge of all his will and wisdom and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, I searched that many times, I read it many times, And I've never seen me mentioned until a little later here, and it says that I'm an enemy. And so, this is why I always talk about this idea that I started doing it with Copeland, but because it's himself, he doesn't believe in the Holy Trinity, he believes in the unholy quartet, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me, but so do all other men. They want to have themselves in the picture. And you can't believe how simple it is and how quickly the understanding flows when you're gone. When you take yourself out of the picture. Then you're not struggling with your mind anymore. You don't have to pay attention to your emotions and feelings. It's all finished. It's all perfect. It's all perfection. It's all glorious. And it matters not what, you know, what happens or what. We know everything is in His hand. Everything is exactly as it should be. And that's sometimes hard to even conceive of. But that's the reason that I wanted to study the stars in the first place, so that we could see the majesty of His glory and see His. You know, every time I think about this, the Star of Bethlehem, that's like, it took 65 million years for that light to reach the earth. And at just the right time to reach the Magi in Persia so that they could arrive in Bethlehem 9 months later and be there before Christ and Joseph and Mary left for Egypt. Do you ever see the movie The Fourth Magi?
The Fourth Wise Man? Yeah.
I mean The Fourth, huh?
The Fourth Wise Man.
Fourth Wise Man. All right.
We should show that again.
Is it good?
Yeah. We've got a copy of it somewhere. I think in the back house.
It is. It says because, well, what happened to this fourth, first of all, there wasn't three wise men anyway. These bought three griffs, so they thought it was the three wise men. But it's something going on over there that we should know about.
Okay, I'll get the
next time I'm here.
This tape's here for the next time. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't have time tonight. Yeah.
What?
Tapes. She's digitizing tapes.
Oh. So. You have to leave this instant?
Pretty quick. She's got to put the kids to bed, and she just wants to study for like 30
minutes. Well, let her study without you for a minute.
All right.
Where it depends on where your heart is.
See you later, Pete.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That kind of stuff really pisses me off.
Well.
Because you let somebody else define your schedule. And then you become a slave to her, and she'll never respect you. You let her define how you feel.
Well, I don't think that's true.
All right.
I mean, I've many a time, you know, told her she has to wait. So,
all right.
You know, what I see it as is she's got a need, and she's got a terribly oppressive schedule. And,
all right.
So I don't agree with you.
Anyway, in this, now we are complete in Him. We need nothing else. And one more. Let's.
Wait, you were going to tell us about the fourth wise man.
Oh, the fourth wise man. Because things kept happening to him, and he missed seeing the Messiah. And he ended up, because he's always helping somebody out, but it sounds kind of corny the way it is, but in the movie it's really good. He's played by
Charlie
one of
Sheen.
The sons of Mike Douglas. What's
Charlie Sheen?
Is that the son of Mike Douglas?
Plays the main character. And then his son, Martin Sheen, plays one of the Roman soldiers.
Oh, that's right. But anyway, it's really good. We used to show it at Christmas every year.
Let's see it.
All right, we'll show it during Christmas time sometime. And then, of course, it's all over where he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that's really what it says when his foot is on the North Star, I mean the Pole Star, the center of everything. And so, and he's intimately tied to other scriptures that we'll study soon, but please... just let all your issues melt away. And it's really amazing to me that can we stop because I'm hungry?
Sure.
Not because Pete's going somewhere, but because I'm hungry. All right?
Right.
So that was a beginning of except that really finishes the Mystic Fishes.
It's too bad. I like this one. Dwell on it for a while.
It's good, isn't it?
I can still dwell on it.
The one thing that we have to remember are these. What fish were thought of among the nations. Remember that? Pisces. The sign was the most malignant of all signs, most unfavorable. Its influences were malignant, and its emblems as indicative of violence and death.
Why is that?
The same reason that we are supposed to be despised and rejected of all men, that he was. The same reason that we are the offscouring of all things. Because they don't want to be rescued if they're successful. If you're successful in something, you have no need of God. The Syrians and the Egyptians, for the most part, didn't eat any fish. Because the dread and abhorrence associated with the fishes in the zodiac. In the hieroglyphics of Egypt, the fish is the symbol of odiousness and dislike and hatred. You know, that's the only way they wrote was with hieroglyphics. The true church's attributes will always be odious to the world's value system. Humiliation, sacrifice, self-denial are in direct opposition to self-fulfillment. Suffering, death, vulnerability, poverty, in direct conflict with the freedoms and enjoyments, the passions, and the self-realization of mankind. So it's always in direct opposition to what man wants. Amen? Anybody have any other thoughts?
I was wondering, was this drawn by someone here, or is this like anyone looking for a star map, will they see this? Sorry,
yeah.
It was always this way?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is from a book that was about... Well, this is the way it was when Frances Ralston wrote her famous book, The Maserat. And so... But in there might be slight variations in what the modern star maps, but they're not significant.
Okay.
Anybody else? Mr. Bojo, what are you thinking about?
What you said a minute ago about, I'm trying to think what you said. Did you say if you were wealthy or if you were successful, you didn't need God? What did you say?
Well, if things are going well with you, then, or if you know how to do everything, then you never need, then faith is not even, it's an enemy.
I don't know if I agree with that.
You don't need salvation, are you?
Hmm?
You don't need salvation.
Well, you don't need God. Because all you'll do is you put God's name in everything, and you start calling being blessed means when I do something well, and then you're pretty good at stuff, so you do stuff well a lot. So pretty soon you have this big house and billions of dollars and living in a gated community, and will pour all around you, and you'll say, God has really blessed me, brother.
Hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Well, but the point of it is that's the contrast, but that's why you hear some of our associates always talking about how God is blessing them.
Well, and that's all that. But that doesn't, that's a wide swath.
But it's a wide swath of all mankind.
Well, it's difficult, I'm sure of that. But you can also be, I guess what I'm trying to say is, when you say that, my assumption is, because you need God because you're asking for thanks, well, you can praise God and you can be thankful. There can be thanksgiving.
No, I'm not. The assumption is because you're asking for things. The assumption is because you got it together.
Again, I can understand how that would be difficult to forget.
Well, the thing that I used to, before I became a believer, you heard me talk about it. People asked me if I were saved, and I said, saved from what?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not important. I mean,
well,
it's
important in terms of the context. It's important.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that God is ever going to decide, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make Trinity Foundation rich.
Well, God's going to deal with everybody.
He's pretty much answered that one.
Individual
oh, I know. But I'm just saying that from my standpoint, it's Trinity Foundation.
Okay, well, yeah, and I agree with you that that's a...
That's pretty unlikely.
I'm not talking about Trinity, I'm talking about...
It's unlikely for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
He's got a...
It's more difficult for him to get in there than it is for a camel to get through an eye of a needle.
Yeah, it's difficult.
It's not difficult there from a camel. Talk about satire.
Yeah.
The camel going through an eye of a needle, the largest unclean animal, to go through the smallest implement at that time that you could get through.
Not impossible.
Yeah.
But not like... Not a camel through it.
That is impossible.
That'll give you...
Well, it goes on to say, with God all things
with
are
God possible. With God all things
rich
possible,
man
in
heaven?
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if the rich man sees he's poor...
That's right. We talked about that the other day.
Okay.
Now I'm with you.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm happy you're with me.
No, I understand.
Made me feel so much better.
Yeah. Don't.
No, I'm glad you understood. All right. Let's excuse Pete's so he can go.
All right.
Goodbye, Pete.
Bye, Pete.
All right, bye, everybody.